Welcome to the Dirtbag State of Mind podcast from the Climbing Zine. I am Luke Mihal, and this is episode 2 of season 6, Climbs Fall Apart. We got a little listener love for you. This one is from Logan from Seattle.
About halfway through high school is when I started getting into climbing in the gym, and I think there's two avenues of climbing. There's kind of the athletic side of climbing where it's a sport and people are very focused on performance. And then there's the side of climbing where you're really tied to the environment that you're climbing in. And I could sense that through the podcast. That's the dirtbag state of mind, if you will, is to be fully immersed in the experience. And whether that's a 5'6 plus on some choss or a 5'11 and you're cruxing out, if you're me.
That was Climbing Zine fan and Dirtbag State of Mind listener Logan from Seattle. Logan came up to me at the crag, was super excited to chat. It was a really cool, positive experience. And then my producer, Chad, he was like, put a mic in front of that guy and see what he has to say. So as you can tell, we're featuring our listeners. We're featuring you all more starting with this season. And I thought Logan had some really cool things to say. And it's really just interesting to hear feedback from people, and it means a lot to me. It means a lot to Chad. So appreciate everyone who's reached out in a message or at the crag. It does mean a lot, and it really is what keeps us going as artists, at least from my perspective, is just interacting with people that appreciate our art. You can hear a little bit more from Logan at the end of the episode. He had something kind of cool to say about people who are starting off in the game and what advice he would give to himself, you know, 4 years into being a climber now. That was pretty cool. So stay tuned for that here at the end of the episode. And this story, Climbs Fall Apart, is from Volume 24, our brand new zine. You can subscribe and keep the zine alive at shop.climbingzine.com. We'd like to mix it up and be original. If you look through our archives, we've got plenty of storytelling episodes, and we've got conversations, and now we're putting out a little bit of music too. So very important for us to keep it original, like a piton. This episode is brought to you by Onyx Backcountry, the ultimate all-in-one adventure mapping and navigation app. Imagine this. Friday is here. It's time to hit the road for that climbing trip you've been dreaming about all week. Fire up Onyx Backcountry. Turn on the government and private land map layers to quickly find a dispersed camp area. Then switch on the 3D map to find an epic spot with views. Finally, turn on the all-new Climb Mode, which pairs Mountain Project Route and Area Beta with the best in-class navigation tools Onyx is known for to find your next climb. From there, switch over to Hike, Mountain Bike, or Snow Mode for nearby trails and guidebook content to inspire multi-activity days. Drop some waypoints to remember where to fill up on water and download an offline map for getting off the grid. The combination of multi-activity local expert and guidebook content, Mountain Project Beta, and high-res maps and navigation tools makes for the all-in-one app we've been waiting for. Subscribe now using promo code ZINE20 for 20% off your Onyx Backcountry subscription and redefine your backcountry adventures. This episode is sponsored by Kilter. Looking for a fun way to train at home or at the gym? Check out the Kilter Board. The Kilter Board has innovative light-up holds, a progressive app, and animated functions with climbs for all abilities, and two layouts to choose from with large online communities for each. There are over 100,000 problems in the original Kilter Board layout, and the newer home board layout comes with over 10,000 problems. You can set, tick climbs, make shareable playlists, watch send videos for motivation and beta, and even add your own videos to share with other users. Kilter has multiple wall sizes and package options available, so we can help get you a Kilter Board in almost any space. Check out Kilter at settercloset.com and look for more information in our show notes. This episode of the Dirtbag State of Mind podcast is brought to you by Osprey. Tired of your old tattered climbing pack? It's time you met the Zealot from Osprey. Osprey was born at the foot of the Sierras and came of age in the ranges, deserts, and canyons around Cortez, Colorado. When it comes to climbing, their Zealot series is purpose-built and athlete-tested with ballistic nylon to defy years of dirtbagging. Their Zealot 40 is a proper rope-hauling crag bag made with the same attention to detail and carrying comfort that Osprey is known for. And their Zealot 30 is dialed in for the days that take you from work to the gym, using dual compartments to keep your everyday carry and climbing gear separate. Make sure your gear isn't the crux of the day, The Zealot is available online at osprey.com or at your local retailer. This episode is also sponsored by Scarpa. Scarpa's approach to climbing shoe design mirrors their approach to the pursuit of climbing itself. They strive to evolve and incorporate new ideas and techniques every step of the way. They refine their strengths, train their weaknesses, and build on each success. Scarpa has been bolstering its climbing shoe foundations by continuing to create versatile, high-quality designs that satisfy the needs of climbers across a range of disciplines and skill levels. For more information, check out scarpa.com or head to our show notes. All right, and I hope you all enjoy this story from Volume 24, Climbs Fall Apart. And so castles made of sand fall into the sea eventually. Jimi Hendrix, Castles Made of Sand. "Did you hear the Crooked Arrow spire fell down?" my buddy Ben Kiesel asked me. "Another one bites the dust," I thought. I used to be surprised when I heard a major section of a climb fell off, but now, 2 years plus into my climbing life, it seems to be commonplace. I climbed Crooked Arrow spire 10 years ago with Dave Ahrens, and I recall a winding chimney that led to a bolt ladder. It's one of those exciting chimneys where your body is the gear. Placements are sporadic, but there's no need to panic. I've always felt comfortable in these types of chimneys, like a hand crack for your entire body. Just across this spire in Castle Valley, Utah, is the classic Jaw Man. Well, it used to be classic until the first two pitches fell down. I remember when I got the news that Jaw Man had collapsed. I was in a hotel in Denver, about to fly to Thailand, and I was doing the usual morning social media posting and scrolling. I'd rather be writing in a notebook than pecking on my hand brain, but as a publisher, it's important to have a constant presence on social. And I was there writing away with my thumbs in the matrix, like many of us are these days. Of all the climbs that have fallen apart, Jaw Man was the only one that made me sad. It was the classic of classics, a tower route that I'd repeat often. I recall an awkward 510 plus start, the universal default grade for a hard, weird section in the desert of southeast Utah. And then a 5.8 chimney. 5.8 is also another default, possibly sandbag grade. This all led to a glorious ledge that once you arrived there, life was beautiful, and your only care in the world was a number one Camelot-sized pitch, if you had enough of said number one cams. They say you can never truly go home, a statement that contains truth and lies. But returning to a classic tower with a good friend sure is close. From what I understand, that glorious ledge where thousands of us climbers once stood is where the chimney collapsed. Climbers' memories, mine included, are often as unreliable as a politician's promises. But this particular ledge is cemented into my mind for a couple reasons. The first time I stood there, my partner and I were struggling. We were in our first couple of years of desert climbing, and we didn't have the gusto for that thin hand crack. I can't remember which one of us backed off. Maybe both of us. Maybe we didn't have enough number ones. But I remember that we retreated. I remember looking at the rock and next to the anchor bolts, seeing several holes similar to a block of Swiss cheese. I'd yet to drill a bolt in sandstone, so I wondered what the hell was going on there. Now I know that the holes were probably ovalized due to the quality of the rock, and when they tried to place a bolt, it wouldn't properly tighten, and thus they had to drill another hole, and another, till they finally got a good one. I also remember on that day, in a momentary lapse of concentration, that I'd unclipped myself from the anchor. I was on a big ledge and must have felt safe and comfortable, but I remember writing in my journal that it freaked me out that I completely detached myself from the system. Years later, that crux pitch would be in my wheelhouse, and I'd led it several times. There's a beautiful metaphor for life in these types of climbing experiences. One day you can't do something, no matter how hard you try, but when you return with more experience and strength, you can enter that flow state, the state that provides some of the best moments for our lives. The era when I would return, year after year, was when many well-traveled desert tower routes still had tiny quarter-inch bolts, about the size of a nail on them. It was also when I still used a hand drill, and I talked more than one climbing partner into doing the hard work of hand drilling a bolt or two on an ascent. Replacing a quarter incher with a proper modern half-inch expansion bolt is gratifying work. Those bolts that we replace used to get clipped hundreds of times a year, but now they never do, just sitting there on a hunk of rock, a tower that itself will fall down someday. And perhaps aliens will find a chunk of rock with a bolt on the ground and be puzzled by what the humans were up to. Perhaps my statement about those bolts never being clipped is a bit incorrect, because there was a route that emerged from the ashes. Just days after the chimney collapsed, a crew of Moab locals established a route amidst the carnage. From a bit of mountain project research, it looks like the grade is solid 512 and it gets climbed every so often. I'll probably never climb it. My appetite for obscure trad climbing is little to none these days, but the fact that a new line arose from the ashes showed that life and climbs go on. It's pretty wild to think about standing and climbing on something that fell to the ground. In enough time, like the Jimi Hendrix lyric, all these towers will eventually crash and burn. How wild and awesome it is to climb on them, knowing this. Even more wild is that the ones that seem destined to collapse any day now seem to remain on and defy gravity. The Texas flake on the nose of El Capitan is one that comes to mind, one of several that climber geologists in Yosemite have their eyes on. A few days after Ben shared with me what he heard about the Crooked Arrow Spire, I decided to do some internet research. I found a Reddit thread with a picture of the rockfall incident. A massive boulder had fallen off the top of Parriott Mesa, and while it appears as though it may have struck the top of its spire, the tower, in fact, was still standing. Rocks are so mysterious, and so is rockfall. Sometimes it happens in a predictable way after a big rainstorm, but usually there seems to be no rhyme or reason. I remember one time I was camping out in the hinterlands of Indian Creek, way back in the Davis Wash by the cave wall, and I was waking up, making my tea, savoring a crisp morning. And then all of a sudden, I heard a large boom. I looked across the valley, and miles away, a huge cloud of dust had formed. A major rockfall had just occurred in the vicinity of the meat walls in the main canyon. The cave wall was also the site of the most mysterious and spooky rockfall incident I've ever come across. Tim Folks and I stumbled upon the undeveloped wall in 2015, and for 3+ years, our crew of friends became obsessed with the zone, establishing nearly 100 routes on what became one of the most stacked and definitely the most remote wall in the creek. As with many walls in the creek, there were 5-star lines. Yes, I prefer this 5-star system, especially in 5-star areas. And there were 2-star lines. One day, Dave Marcinowski was establishing a 2-star line right next to his 5-star mega 185-foot dihedral to the moon. The climb went relatively straightforward, except for a foot slip that caused him to take a small fall. He hit his junk on a protruding flake, but was okay. A week later, he came back to do the climb again. When he reached the section past where he had his little fall, the climb suddenly seemed different, as if the crack he'd climbed previously was mysteriously missing. After analyzing the situation some more, he realized the crack was missing. He put in some gear and lowered to the ground, and then looked closely at the base of the climb, and sure enough, there were several blocks that looked like they'd recently fallen off the cliff. In the days between the first ascent and when he'd returned, a 10-foot section of the climb had fallen down. After some deliberation, we decided to move the anchors down and make the climb shorter, only going up to a small boot-sized flake, giving it the name Moon Boot. Climbs fall apart, and from my perspective, the ones with the features that look like they're going to come crashing down rarely do, at least with rock climbing. With ice and mixed climbing, every year the climbs come and go and are different, which seems to be appealing to some climbers. One of my first times ice climbing, on a warm spring day, I heard an entire pillar collapse and land on the climber who was tying in and about to climb said pillar. That was the last day of my ice climbing career. I used to view climbs as permanent fixtures, but as the years go by, I realize that just as someday I will no longer exist in the flesh, my favorite desert tower could possibly give way to gravity and erosion. John Mann was a climb for an era, perhaps a goat of a tower. I think part of what made me sad about its demise is that other climbers won't get to have that experience. Of course, there are plenty of other great towers in Castle Valley, which, in my humble opinion, is the best place to climb towers in the Southwest. Though I climb in the desert less and less these days, Castle Valley is one place I plan to return again and again for the rest of my life. These castles made of sand are so beautiful, the landscape so stark, the sky so often azure, the mountains in the distance so novel. It's a unique place, one that always provides adventure and meaning. In a way, it's also very cool that the climb no longer exists. Now the classic only exists in the mind's eye of those who have done it. There's that cliche saying about death, you die twice, once when you physically die, and again when your name is mentioned for the last time. John Mann, as it stood as a classic 10+, continues to exist in the mind of those who climbed it. A memory that is the closest when you're standing on top of a neighboring tower, looking off in the distance, pondering which one might be the next to fall. That was Climbs Fall Apart from Volume 24 of The Climbing Zine. And we're actually going to hear a little bit more from Logan, who we heard at the top of the show. We're just asking him, not necessarily advice, but what he would have to share with someone who's where he was at 4 years ago when he's just getting into climbing. And I thought this was really interesting, so I want to share this with you all from Logan from Seattle.
I would say don't be afraid to put yourself out there. Obviously be safe, but go to the crag, meet people, find mentors. It seems really intimidating, it seems pretty scary, but most people aren't trying to bite you, and they have a lot to offer in the form of mentorship and wisdom, and there's just so many amazing grounded people that you can find within this climbing community that all are looking to have a good time and to help others reach their potential and their goals.
Thanks, Logan, for that. Our digital editor and producer is Chad Rich. Music for this episode is by Devin Dabney, and Devin and I are working on the Microdose mixtape. It's coming out April 20th. And want to just leave you at the very end of this episode with a poem that I wrote that's in this mixtape, and it was originally published in Volume 13 of the zine. It's out of print now, but you can also find it in the Climbing Zine book too that is available at shop.climbingzine.com. All right, hope you all enjoy this poem, A Climber Who Cries. Do only writers cry when a writer dies? Do only musicians cry when a guitar player dies? Do only climbers cry when a climber dies? Lately, I've cried for my eyes when people I don't know die. And lately, there's been a lot of them. I'm a poet, but I've never written any poems. They all write themselves. Just like the tears spilled into beers, my heroes are leaving. And by leaving, giving. I must prepare my weapons, prepare my pens to begin again. Don't say I wasn't made by the red, white, and blue. The Grateful Dead. That's right, Daddy-O. I'm back on my Kerouac. Give me that rucksack and a fat sack. And don't dominate the rap jack if you got nothing new to say. It's a brand new day, and this whole world just gets so fucking petty. And we just lost Tom fucking Petty. Those who get the gift also seem to get the drugs. I'm on my one-hitter quitter, but fuck the synthetic drugs. The world needs more hugs. The world needs more Princes and Hayden Kennedys. Cried for that dude too, both of those dudes, and for Inga Perkins too. Prince gave us Purple Rain, raspberry berets, and pancakes. And Hayden showed us grades don't matter, but only love and heart matter. I'll probably never step to his lines, but I can show some token of thanks in lines. Give me the time. I'll do it all. Well, I won't, but whatever is driving this poetry will. We all get born into the world in one way, but we get born in another way from the art we parlay. Reading, writing, climbing, singing, dancing, painting, give us another chance at life, another chance to believe in life in this world of strife. Write your poetry and your truth, even if it only gets like one like. Life's like this great happen chance of circumstance, and you are here to move someone else forward.